Welcome, everybody. This is Winfrey. This is our Monday night conference call on VBS Radio. And this is the simulcast between a conference line and an internet.
Thank you. Recording, Win.
Thank you all for listening. Hang on a second.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
Okay, all of you heard that. We're now recording everything. And as you who check in regularly know, are aware that this call is dedicated to bringing forth what I call interdimensional communication. And communications from other realms into this realm that have the ability to explain many things which would normally be inexplicable. And we actually do live communications on this call. And those of you that have been tuning in regularly know that I have this unusual story of having had written a book about David Wilcock and the Edgar Cayce connection. And during the time I was writing it, there was my own personal experience happening where the people around me began channeling. And like many of you maybe were or should be, the idea of channeling is a tricky thing. If a voice starts talking to you through someone else, the question is, who's talking? Who is talking, and can you trust them? And those are very important questions because it's been my unfolding experience to learn that channeling has been both, how can I say it? Both the most positive and negative things on this planet have resulted because of channeling. The most positive and the most negative things because of channeling. And I'll explain that in just a moment. Let me see if Carla Ruckert's on the line, because tonight we're not doing a live channeling as we usually do with Terry. Once a month, Carla Ruckert and I have a conversation. And Seth, are you on the line? Are we on the air?
We are on the air.
Is Carla there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. So you're listening to what I'm saying, Carla, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, Carla can have her own opinion. I don't speak for Carla, but it's been my experience that channeling has been both the saving grace and the worst bane for this planet. And the key is that it's possible for a channeling to come from the highest of highs that is trying to love us and give us keys to work out this realm. And it's also possible for a channeling to come from the lowest of lows. And the thing about it is, if it happens to come from the lowest of lows, it looks like it does. It's not obvious immediately that that's true, because it would be called a trickster, some being on the other side that would be attempting to bring forth information with an agenda, with an attempt to control us, but it doesn't look like that on the surface. It would be, if you've ever bought a used car from a con man, you never knew he was a con man until you got the car home and you've already spent your money. So Carla Ruckert is my guest, and she is one of the most acknowledged and recognized channels on the planet, and known best for her control her own controls to make sure she connects with positive sources. And even then, it's very important to never believe something blindly, but to always apply your own scrutiny. But where it gets tricky with channeling is these guys in other realms know things that you don't know, both the negative and the positive. And even the negative can be prophetic. That's been my experience. They can be prophetic. They can wow and dazzle you. And so, in terms of scrutinizing all of this, it's got to be more than, you know, having phenomena, because phenomena is not limited to the positive. It's also accessible to the negative. And so, you know, I thought this would be a good topic for tonight, because it's actually one of the most important topics, because in the world today, there's so many voices, so many channels, so many people, and people are trying to figure out which way to go, who to trust, probably both in their lives and every other which way. And you need a good guideline without the guideline taking control of you. In other words, you even have to scrutinize the guideline. Hi there. I'm going to mute the people checking in. We're already on air. And
entry and exit chimes are off.
I would like to also say that my co-host associate, Terry Brown, is on the line. Are you there, Terry? Let's see, she's muted as usual. She's jumping for her mute button.
Oh, I am here.
And Terry is also a person who is able to bring through voices from other dimensions, and not quite the track record of Carla, at least in this lifetime, but in general, many of you have listened to Terry many times on this line when we've asked questions, and both Terry and Carla have probably different ways of ascertaining that what they're bringing through is positive. And I thought it would be interesting to have a talk about that, about how they ascertain that something's positive. Because it's a great responsibility to bring this thing out to people. It's one thing if you're just got a voice talking to you, and occasionally I get emails from people who have made contact, and they seem to be getting guidance from interdimensional sources. They have voices inside their head, and they're getting wisdom. Sometimes they call it their personal guide or their whatever name is used for that. But it's a big step to go from there into saying, here's some information that I think you'll find valuable. It's a great responsibility to do that. And anyone who decides to do that, hopefully, has gone through a period of very strong observation of the agendas of whoever's talking to them. Because even in the best of cases, people tend, since there's so much information, you can't validate for yourself. If you're talking about cosmology or history of the planet, then there's a point where it's easy to say, okay, I believe that. So how do you know what to believe, how to use it, and what you're doing is positive? And on that note, I'm going to turn it over to Carla and let her say whatever she wants to say on this topic.
Okay. Well, thanks, Wynn. Actually, you've asked two questions. How do you believe what people are channeling, and how do I ascertain whether or not I have a good contact? So I'd like to answer the first question briefly. You ascertain whether or not the information is good by how it resonates within you. If it resonates to you, you work with it. If it doesn't resonate to you, you leave it behind without a second thought. You trust yourself. You trust your discernment. You build your own intelligence. this seems like a slender reed to hold on to, because you don't really have the training to trust yourself in this culture. But deep within you, you have a tremendous guidance system, and listening to how you feel when you hear something will do the job for you. You can trust yourself, and I encourage you to do so. It may lead you down some strange alleyways, and you'll go, oh, well, I think I'll back out of here. But that's okay. Making mistakes is how you learn. Now, the second question, how I ascertain whether or not I feel that I have a positive source on the line is a little more complicated. And so with your permission, Wynn, I'll sort of back off and have a go at that.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, I wanted to add one comment to what you said, and it had
yeah.
to do with trusting yourself. And
yeah.
I wanted to say that if you apply this trusting yourself, I don't think you should make a quick snap decision on that. I think if you're thinking of putting something public, then you should watch something for quite some time. Because like any good con man, anyone can be fooled, but you can't be fooled forever. You can only be fooled for a short while. And, you know, if a negative source is good, it can fool you for a bit. But after a while, its agenda is going to show up. And so I think, you know, in terms of trusting yourself, trust yourself and watch it for a while and keep drawing the conclusions. Don't hold to the conclusion, but see if there's anything you see that is an agenda other than loving us. Okay, back to you, Carla. Go ahead.
Well, that's what I said. It may lead you down some strange alleyways, but you can always back out. You continue
right.
to gather your intelligence, and making mistakes is part of it. And it's not really a mistake. It's simply that that con man that's gotten you for a while, but then you see the ace up the sleeve, and you go, okay, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And you continue to trust
people. That's why people should be very cautious about making things public, because once they start making something public, they get attached to the attention, and they get more blind to what they're doing.
Are
so,
you talking about
you know,
channels? Those who are listening to the program.
Channels.
So
channel.
Distinguish between. Okay, for channels. Okay, yeah. Well, that was the second part of my answer. I was just going to head out on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. If we're done with from the standpoint of the seeker, and we're now looking at for a person that's channeling, how do you refine that art? I can tell you the way I did it. When I started to learn to channel, I did not know anything except what I had observed from 12 years of listening to other people try to channel. And that was that I really didn't think that specific information was useful for the spiritual path, and that the channelers always got flubbed up, shall we say, to use a technical term, when they tried to answer specific questions like prophecies and so forth. So I knew enough to avoid some of the biggest pitfalls of channeling, which are to accept fear-based questions and to accept questions about specific information which hold no spiritual content. If you're attempting to tune in a metaphysical group of a positive polarity, they have no interest in answering questions like that. They have no interest in answering questions about your future. They have no interest in answering questions about your past lives. Now, angels can do that. Those who have guidance systems, inner guides, they can do that. But if you're attempting to find an extraterrestrial source, they're not going to be interested in doing that if they're positive or service to others oriented. So I avoided a lot of bad information right off the bat. But I was very unsatisfied with the level of my channeling. Almost immediately, I wanted to make it better. And I still want to make it better. I'm still trying to make it better. It's a lifelong beau geste for me to do a good job. But I always do the best job that I can. I put everything I've got into it every time. And I imagine Terry would say the same. So here's the way I refined it. I decided that basically the way I understood channeling was that I was sort of like a transmitter receiver. I was like a little radio, a crystal radio. And I could send out vibrations, I could receive vibrations, and I could, to a certain extent, transmute vibrations. But what I was interested in doing as a channel was receiving and then transmitting a vibration that I was getting. Now, you do this on your radio all the time. You tune in a radio, 98.9 or whatever, and you get to 98.7 and you're starting to hear something and you continue to tune and you tune it in. If you've got a more expensive radio, you've got little knobs, little verniers, and you keep tuning it in until you get right in the middle of the signal. And that's what you're trying to do as a channel. You're trying to get right in the middle of the signal. Now, what determines the signal is yourself. So you start with yourself. I start with myself. I started with myself. And I decided that I needed to define precisely who I was. And for me, this was a very short trip because all my life I've been a mystical Christian. And I knew that I wanted to hear from vibrations that carried the energy of Jesus the Christ, unconditional love. So I always asked for the vibration of unconditional love. And so I was tuning to whatever channel that I could carry, you know, from my vibration that was going to bring forth information about love. Now, I discovered more and more about this tuning process, and I actually practiced the tuning process and the challenging process, which I'll talk about in a minute, for years. I even have a book published called A Book of Days that is the result of my husband faithfully recording these sessions right after our morning offering every morning. I would go through the tuning process, and then I would challenge the spirit that I received. I was always asking for the Holy Spirit when it was just Jim and me, because to get an extraterrestrial source, you really need to have a circle of three or more, because it universalizes the channel. But in this practice, I was working with the Holy Spirit, my guidance system. So I would get a thought from the Holy Spirit, and then I would let the channel go. And so we made a Book of Days out of the readings from the Holy Spirit and its channelings from the Holy Spirit. That's the name of it, A Book of Days, Channelings from the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of nice because it's a companion book. You can take it with you, and every day you can get, you know, a page or shorter reading from the Holy Spirit that sort of sets you on the right path for the day. But at any rate, I worked with this for years, and I discovered
would you explain what you mean by the Holy Spirit? Because when you use a word that is traditionally connected to a religion, then some people blank out and they think this is not for them. So is there a way to translate the word Holy Spirit so it's non-denominational?
Sure. Well, everybody has a guidance system. The guidance system is with you, and it's your higher self. It's the self that you are at the end of your learning process before you decide that you're ready to go back to the one infinite creator. The gift that you give to yourself is the thought form of yourself at that point. All that you have learned of love and wisdom and power and unity, you create that as a thought form and you give it to yourself wherever that self is in simultaneous time. As you go through various incarnations, you always have that higher self available, regardless of when that incarnation is in time relation to mid-sixth density when you create the higher self. So my guidance system is full of the religion that I carry with me and have carried since I was too young to remember. And so I call it the Holy Spirit, and I do mean the Holy Spirit, but it's my own little flame of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I call her Holly. I think it's kind of polite to call your little flame of the Holy Spirit Holly instead of, hello, Holy Spirit, how are you this morning? I say, hey, Holly. You know, it's just better. So that's what I mean by the Holy Spirit. It's your guidance system, your higher self. Those terms are certainly more neutral. But in my own experience, which is what I'm talking about right now, you'll find me to be, in my personal life, just full of Christian terminology and Christian thoughts, because it's just the way I go through life. It's not the way I channel, and it's not something that I consider to be important. It's important for me. It's not important for anybody else. I'm not one that says, oh, gosh, you should become a Christian. I'm a person that says, gosh, you should become a seeker. And the channeling that I do is for people that are not able to handle Christianity or Jewish religion or the Muslim, you know, the Islam religion or any religion. They can't be Buddhists. They can't be Zens. They just got to make their own spiritual path. And those are the people that are closest to my heart, because those are the ones that are really out there, like twisting in the wind. So these are the people for whom I channel. This is my people. It's the people that are not Christian. But just like Jesus was Jewish, but he didn't start the Jewish religion, you know, he started a whole new thing, right? So I'm right. Christian, but I'm channeling extraterrestrials. So, you know, just because my guidance system I call the Holy Spirit or Holly, it doesn't mean that I think everybody should be Christian. But at any rate, tuning to the best of who you are is part of how I prepare for channeling. And these days I have learned to pray, please give me the highest and best channel that I can carry in a conscious and stable manner of the vibration of Jesus the Christ, which is unconditional love. And that has made me a far more stable channel, and I get the same source all the time and have since the 80s, since I began asking for the highest and best rather than just asking for a spiritual channel. It just maximizes my work, and it is really hard work to do the channeling. You really have to focus, and it's really kind of patchy. You're involved in translation, and you're getting unusual thoughts, and you have to pretty much rip them out, you know, speak them or lose them. And so you're really focusing very carefully throughout the entire time that you're doing a reading. So it's important that you trust your source. So the tuning is part of it. Now, the other part of it for me is the challenging of the spirit. And I do not believe that it is possible to trust your source. It's possible if you're channeling an inner source, your guidance system, because that's with you all the time, and that's trustworthy. If you're trying to do an outer source, a source that's not from around here, the problem with that is that both positive and negative entities use the same light, and they feel the same as they're coming in on the same light. And the negative entity can imitate the positive channel perfectly. So you can't tell that it's your channel simply by the way it feels. You have to challenge the spirit. And I challenge the spirit before I will let go and just go ahead and channel. I challenge it 3 times because I want to make sure that I'm awake and at it. And so I challenge once, and then I start all over again. I challenge a second time, and I start all over again. I challenge a third time. And if they meet that challenge 3 times. And in my case, since I'm challenging in the name of Jesus Christ, I make them say Jesus is Lord. So it's pretty simple for me. Other people have a harder time figuring out how to challenge because they may not believe in Jesus, which is by far the most commonly used icon, shall we say, for positive energy on earth. Even people that don't have any desire to be a Christian, do feel that Jesus is definitely a beautiful example of unconditional love. So they have no problem challenging in the name of unconditional love like Jesus, you know, but they just don't want to use Jesus, and that's okay. But then I remember one time in the 80s I was teaching a lawyer to channel, and he had to channel in the name of justice because that's what he believed in. He didn't really feel that his life was based on love. He felt it was based on a devotion to justice. But he was perfectly able to channel because he felt so passionately about justice. So it's whatever is the center of your life, whatever you live for, whatever you would die for if necessary. That's how you challenge. And so you tune and you challenge. And when you've got the radio station that you want on the horn, then you begin the reading. And
Carla, can I insert a question? If you're talking to a negative source, and you challenge them, why can you be sure that they're telling the truth when they acknowledge it? In other words, one of the things about a con man is he'll tell you anything, and you can ask him the same thing over and over again, and he'll tell you the same thing. I've always wondered that. How can you trust for sure?
Well, I've experienced that, actually. People may not know my history, but I had a particularly good contact for several years in the early 80s, 81 through 84. It was of those of Ra, and Ra told me during the time that they were talking to my research partner, Don, who was the questioner for that whole series of 106 sessions, that I should not attempt to do that unless I had the other two members of my research group with me. That would be Jim McCarty and Don Elkins. So when Don died in 1984, I stopped channeling Ra. That didn't mean I stopped getting would-be, you know, Ra's. And I would always challenge that spirit in the name of Jesus the Christ and get it to say that Jesus was Lord, and they couldn't do it. And the reason for that is that they're coming from metaphysical time space instead of physical space time. In physical space time, you're behind a veil. You have no idea what the truth is. You have to find the truth by faith. In time space, everything is known to you. You can see the truth. You can see that we all are one. You can see what a person intends. In fact, you can read everyone's thoughts. It's not that you want to, it's that you can. And you have no way not to. So, you know, it's full disclosure all the way. Now, in time-space, thoughts are things. They're just like bricks and mortar and stone. And if you ask someone, can you say Jesus is Lord, and they are not of that polarity, they just run into that brick wall and poof, that's it. Unless they want to wreck, you know, they're not going to attempt to go through the brick wall. There's no way to go through the brick wall. Now, if you were not sure of who you were and you didn't know how to challenge for sure, then you may not have that effect. You may not find that to be so. But I found that to be so time and again. And after, I'd say probably 6 months, of getting, you know, wannabe Ra's and challenging them and having them just go away, I didn't get any more wannabe Ra's because they knew that I was going to challenge them every time and they weren't going to make it. So they just went in search of a weaker mind. And they will find a weaker mind, believe me, on this planet. Because we're not trained to make our minds strong and to create belief in ourselves and gradually build ourselves up to be somebody that has a footprint in time-space so that we have a solid identity in time-space. You have to have that solid identity. Once you have that identity, metaphysically speaking, you cannot be fooled for the simple reason that you are employing principles that are the same now, tomorrow, and forever. it'll be the same in 10,000 years as it is today. So mm-hmm. once you're in that simultaneous time, you can trust the challenging process. Certainly you can't trust that process in the context of physical life. Otherwise, a show like Lie to Me would not be interesting. And, of course, it is very fascinating.
Is there a show called Lie to Me?
There is. And it's a very canny show. I recommend it to you. But there are many tells, you know, that you can use to see if a person is telling the truth or not. But, of course, a good con man knows them all, and he will look you straight in the eye and not blink and not look to the left and not look down and tell you a lie, and you won't be able to see that.
He might be a sociopath. So when he's telling you the lie, he actually believes it.
He believes it, yeah. Okay, so, you know, you definitely don't want to channel any sociopaths, right?
Right. They're sociopaths in the other dimensions. You know, I was getting something. I was getting a cognition while you were explaining that, and I was seeing that, you can tell me if I'm right here, when you're doing a channeling or a challenging, it's not just the word you're using, do you come in the name of Jesus? It's your, meaning you, Carla's, personal authority.
That's
creating
exactly
the
right.
Intention.
I don't say, do you come in the name of Jesus the Christ? I say, do you come in the name of my Jesus?
Yeah.
The Jesus I love, the Jesus I would die for, the Jesus I live
right.
for, the Jesus
and
is
so
my
in
way.
In doing that,
you come in the name of love, and all of that, then they have to say Jesus is Lord. And usually what the Kuo group will say to me is, well, of course we come in the name of Jesus the Christ. Jesus is love, and we're coming in the name of love, and there's no problem, you know. So it's like mm-hmm. they're backing away from going this with all this Jesus Christ stuff, and they're settling on love, and they'll say, well, Jesus is the King of love, and we come in the name of love. So, you know, mm-hmm. they always try to bring it back to the neutral. That's the beautiful thing about extraterrestrial communication, is that it carries that neutrality, that emotional neutrality, the neutrality of words. They don't say God, they say Creator. They don't say Jesus, they say love. They talk about the logos. But, you know, they avoid talking in terms that are emotionally intrusive or that make people uncomfortable. They offer people the truth as they see it in as neutral terms as they can find.
Mm-hmm. You know, you use the word E.T., and of course when you think of E.T., you think of that cuddly little creature in Steven Spielberg's movies and flying saucers. But really, we're not talking, I mean, I'm not sure you can clarify this, but these intelligences that communicate through you are not really in bodies, are they? They're energies, correct? Or incorrect?
That's right. Yeah, they're actually parking in some of the inner planes, and when you have positive ET contact, which has occurred, you're making contact not with an actual physical thing, but you're making contact with a thought form. It blinks mm-hmm. into this reality, blinks out of the reality. It's a thought form. The things mm-hmm. that, you know, you can bang on the hood and get inside and everything, they're most likely negative. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's a crowded sky, it's a crowded universe. So there are lots of ways to be fooled. And one mm-hmm. of the things that the Confederation, the positively-oriented group that I channel, did try to do back in the 50s was to see if they could come among us physically. And they contacted, according to my information, they contacted President Eisenhower. He was sitting at the time, and said, well, you know, we'd love to land, and we'd love to make first contact, just, you know, like in Star Trek. And Eisenhower said, allegedly, I don't think so. I don't think that, you know, this planet's ready for it. And so why don't you just do a gradual campaign of making people aware subliminally of the fact that there might be others out there, And, of course, that subliminal campaign has just really taken off. Now you've got ETs, like you said, you know, selling beer and starring in ALF and Mork from Ork. And, gosh, what are the other good shows that have gone on the airwaves? And people are used to the thought now of extraterrestrials. And I'm not saying that physical extraterrestrials don't exist. They certainly do. And I studied them for a long time in the 70s. But we just decided in the group, Don and Jim and I, that this channel material from metaphysical sources was so much more, had so much more depth and so much more resonance for us, that we thought that this would be the way to be a service to those people that were interested in our work. So this is what we've ended up doing, to the exclusion of keeping up with the many, many very interesting cases that there are of positive and negative contact from UFOs, and, of course, from so-called UFOs, which are actually made by those of our government that are involved in secret stuff. All of this is being covered well by other people, and not much is being done about really focusing on metaphysical contact. So Jim and I have decided to focus on that, and we have done that exclusively since about 1980. Mm-hmm. We have about 30 years in on this.
Thank you. Hey, do you mind if I let Terry is so shy, unless I ask her, she's just going to sit in the background. And you never know what she's going to say. She comes out. Terry, are you there, Terry?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
You want to make any comments on all the stuff we're talking about?
Well, I could tell you what I do when I channel, briefly. In the start of the channeling, I set aside all ego and set myself to be totally open to the frequency of the source that I have come to know as Ra'an, in becoming totally open to that, I tune. But I don't tune until I've cleared myself in any ego, and until Wynn has done an invocation to only bring in the positive, and anything that's negative must leave. Once I tune and I see the source, I feel a pressure around the top of my head as they lock in. And normally they have a confidence, like, we've got it now. And then I evaluate, like, I be them. And as I am them, if a couple times it's still been negative, and after the invocation, it's eventually cleared, but I don't channel until it's totally clear. When I am then, when I'm them, there's a challenge that goes out from me to them. Just checking them for total purity and total intent and total desire. And it seems like when I put this, it's a telepathic challenge out to them, that if they aren't totally clear and totally loving, then there's some kind of a flicker. But it's only happened twice that there has been a question, and then I reset if that comes up, I totally reset myself and retune. I just stop, reset, and tune to the correct frequency. Like Carla was saying, it's like tuning a radio dial to get to the correct frequency. And one amazing thing happened one time where they told me they were going to make an announcement when we were doing an internet radio broadcast. And I asked them, I said, tell me something about it. Tell me what you're going to say. Tell me what this announcement is. And they just said, well, it's a really big announcement, and we aren't going to tell you till we're there. So when we got on the air, they announced that elements of the Elohim, which were very high frequency, were going to start also bringing in elements, not the whole Ra group, but some elements of the Ra group. And the purpose of this was to increase the frequency that was coming in. Also, I noticed that there is an openness to take a look at all that is in the bringing through of the answers, to collect data and then bring through data. There is some translation process, and when I started this, they would go totally, the Elohim would go totally mathematical on me. And I'd be getting equations, mathematics that I wouldn't understand at all. And so I said, hey, wait a minute, let's stop and bring me something that I can bring through, because I don't even know how to have concepts for all this mathematics. The other thing is that within the Elohim group, there is a group called Grace. And at some times, it's appropriate for Grace to come through, and Grace comes through, which is a group, very high frequency, and they explain how grace works, or sometimes how miracles work. And the way miracles work to them, they aren't miracles, because they have a whole repertoire of tools that they can use, which to us are miracles, but to them are the way things work and can be manifested. The other group that is a frequency that I've experienced is within the Ra group, which is a frequency of Holy Spirit. That's a purification and is available to mankind to pray to and to tap into and be worked with. And this is what I have to comment on.
Okay. Well, let's see. It's 6:44. I want to make sure that those of you that are listening, there's ways to read and get these communications which have the ability to really shift your life. And Carla has a website, llresearch.org, llresearch.org, and she posts probably thousands of all her channelings. And she, every week, I think during the period she does it, I think on Sundays, she has a group of people at her house, and they come up with a group question, and they ask, I always say, quote, K-U-O, and quote, combination of three group energies. And as humans, I don't think we can understand that, but the quality of the answers and the precision of the information is extraordinary. And, you know, there are things in those channelings that you can read over and over and over again, and they just trigger things in you. And she puts this all up for free. Thousands of her channelings, her books, everything, on her website. So write that down, llresearch.org. And you can almost just throw a dart, pick anything and start reading, and you'll probably pick the right thing. And we haven't put up, we're working on it. We're working on putting up on the Internet a history of some of the channelings we have transcribed. But mostly we're doing messageaday.net, and it's little excerpts from channelings. And then we're having three live conference calls a week where usually we have a question and answer session with Terry, who's bringing forth the sources that work with us, and that you'll start getting the transcriptions and the audios on a weekly basis if you're connected to messageaday.net. So I just want to let everyone know how to follow up. And one of the things I've learned about paying attention to channeled information, and this is something, it took me a while to figure out, and in fact, I had a resistance to listening to channeled information for a long time because I was afraid of giving up my power to some source that would start trying to direct me. But when you're dealing with really loving, high sources, they don't ever make you give up your power. Any source that says, follow me or believe this blindly, that's the key, to me, that's the key to run the other direction. And the advantage of paying consistent attention to these sources is that all of them come from a higher place in the matrix than most of us access in our normal human lives. And I don't know if you understand what I mean by a higher point in the matrix. Carla used the word time-space. We live in this dimension, which is space-time. Well, when you listen to messages that are coming from time-space, or another way of saying from another higher place in the matrix than this one here, or a place where time moves at a different speed than this one here, when you listen and read those messages, there's something in you that creates a resonance and starts accessing the time-space that the message is coming from. And as you start to access that, you add another dimension to your functionality in the physical realm, because now you're carrying the psychic is not the right word. You're carrying a part of yourself that's out beyond the veil. Instead of being trapped in the veil, you start to access the energy above the, this is my way of looking at it, Carla may disagree, but you start to access an energy outside of the veil that becomes familiar. And to me, when you start to access an energy, which is you, because everything is one, out above the veil, it's the first and maybe the final step of freeing yourself from reincarnation. Because instead of identifying with all the energies below the veil, which keeps you bound in this level, you start to identify with energies above the veil, which start to which free you from having to come back into this realm, unless you want to. So that's the advantage of paying attention to positive sources. Not only do you get great information, not only do you get a lot of question answers answered about how things worked in the past and how things are put together, but you get familiar. You start to operate in their energy level or feel their energy level by reading their words, which taps you into a space above the veil. Carla, would you like to say anything on that one?
Oh, I think that, except for vocabulary, I agree with you completely. The real power, the real beauty of the channeling is in the space between the words, the energy that is carried by the channel. And there is a peace and a power to the energy itself that even when you read it online, especially if you read it out loud, you regenerate that feeling, that energy, that purity, and it is given to you completely. That it's yours for the taking. They're putting it out there so that you can get it, so that you can rest in it, so that you can feel more comfortable. And that's definitely a part of it that is very important. And it's really almost more important than the information. But you know, our rational minds really need the information, so we gobble up the information. But the intuitive part of ourselves, the self that dreams, that has insight and so forth, that is going to feel that essence. And again, that goes back to trusting yourself and feel it. And when you feel resonance, we'll follow that. And if you discover that you've been fooled, back out of it and try again. You know, don't be discouraged. Don't get cynical. Just try again. Because you will be led by your intention in the direction that you genuinely want to go. And so it's
you got to say goodbye to everybody.
Inspiration.
Carla, 6:52, we're 2 minutes over. And can you hear me?
Thank you, Wynn. I've appreciated being on.
This is a wonderful show, and I am so honored to be able to do this with you once a month. Stay tuned. Once a month, Carla and I and Kerry do this. And, again, we're doing our Wednesday question and answer session and our Sunday grid healing. And Carla is, you have a show on VBS too where do you play back channelings? Your channelings on your show, right?
That's right, yeah. Once a week, they just run one of our sessions.
Yeah. So watch the BBS schedule, and you can listen to a live channeling from Carla. And we will see you all next time. And thank you, BBS. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Terry. Thank all of you for holding the space that makes this show possible, okay? Because this is... You know, people don't appreciate or take for granted that just the loving energy that they send towards us makes the loving energy come back, flow back and forth and smooth. I don't know if that makes sense, but all right. See you all next week or whatever. God bless you.